D-Wade, you know, kicked it up to me. I had a layup, but I, you know, I heard the freight train. I heard, man. I heard
what
him,
what it sound like? What it sound like?
You can hear his.
To the OGs, it's a cold world on set day, brother. Yes, damn, it's good to see world. You. I tell you what, UD, make me feel old. When I asked my oldie,
No, you is old.
Damn, bro, we're the same
age. Older than me. You the oldest one on set today.
All right, well, calm down. See how it is. I don't even like them.
He an OG too now, though.
Yeah, he's an OG. Sure.
Yeah, he an OG too.
That make y'all like triple OGs, though.
Yeah. You're right, Cole.
Well, he told me how old he was. I was like, damn.
Man, I still remember the high top fade with the kid right. Play.
Little slip through the middle.
Yeah.
He leveled it world. Up.
Now it's just a fade.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Cold World. Thank Appreciate you, dog. Y'all Thank too, you. Man. This is a special one, man. For me, obviously, having the opportunity. I ain't seen you in a while, but the relationship we build, obviously, I watch, I pay attention. You know what I'm saying? You've always been one of my favorite guys. Your family, your parents,
Appreciate
all
you,
that. So thank you, my brother. Appreciate yes, you.
The van, Glad. Everything.
Come on now.
You still got that van?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a parking museum.
For the people at home, can you explain the van?
So every year of my life, you know, I've won a lot of championships from Pee Wee, middle school, state championships in high school.
You're a winner.
Yes, sir. So
that's what he does.
Every championship, you know, I always had that green van. And so Miami Heat, you know, caught wind of that. I guess they the feds.
Pat know everything.
Oh, you Man, know everything.
So Pat they caught everything. Wind of that. Mafioso. So it was like, if we talking about championships, we need to have a championship van. So we brought it up. They shipped it up here in Heat Nation signed it, so it's no longer a green van. It's a white van. You know, we the white out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a million white signatures covering the van. And it stayed here for a while, and then we brought it back home in this park. We got to hide it, though, because somebody definitely tried to steal it.
Yeah, that's a lot of signatures on there.
That could be an auction.
A lot of historical signatures. We're going to
auction it. You know? That could be an auction.
Someone, you know, Heat Diehard, you know, if y'all interested in having a museum in your garage, just let me know.
That's a historical piece. That's a historical piece right
so,
there.
We ain't going to go back and forth, so come with the right offer straight up front.
Killer, go ahead and buy that motherfucker. You got money.
Crazy money.
Yeah, he got a lot of money now. He got a lot of money.
Y'all better knock this up. While he over here talking to
him. Oh, you over here wild.
No, Jack, I'm
hurting. But talk about it. Like, obviously, coming into the Heat in the time you came into the Heat, right? Ooh. Like, I always am curious what your mindset is, because what are you, 20 when you come in?
I was 21.
21 coming 22, in yep. To a team that just came off a championship run that lost, right?
Uh-huh.
So we get beat by Dallas. You come in, you're the 28th pick in the first round. Mm-hmm. You come into us, and you're walking out of the locker room, and it's Bron, it's D-Wade, it's CB, it's Udonis Haslam.
It's Killer, Shane Battier.
Yeah, you walking into
Ray
championship.
Allen.
You walking into championship
Juwan
or
Howard
bust?
Juwan over there.
Howard, 17.
Yeah,
championship or bust.
Championship. Yeah. So you're coming into high stakes poker, man. Like, so, what's your mindset like? Because I know what your answer's gonna be because I know you now.
Yeah.
You walked in that motherfucker like this is your shit.
Nah, what I did honestly, I wanted to walk in and earn my respect.
Yeah.
The same way I respected y'all from. Y'all years of putting in work, from watching, being a fan, I wanted to come in right away and earn my respect. I wanted y'all to look at me as a peer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my focus. And remember, we had the lockout.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't have no real training camp, no summer league. So I wanted to come in, knock the conditioning test out, and show that I'm a professional, the ultimate professional. And I wanted to be one of the young guys that played. Because, you know, young point guards are not known for playing here. You know, and mm-hmm. on our team, it was mm-hmm. a heavy vet team. It was a no BS team, like you said, championship or bust. So I wanted to prove that y'all could trust me so that I can contribute to winning. And, you know, my competitive nature, that's what it was.
It's so crazy because you say, like, a heavy vet team and a no BS team. It's wild when you go to different situations and you see it, and that's not the emphasis. So talk about, and we're gonna come back to the Miami stuff because I want to talk. Yeah. But you just gave me such a, you threw something out there that I think is important, right? Like when you leave there, and everyone talks about heat culture, and he has to sit up here and talk about heat culture all the time because everyone wants to talk about heat culture. Mm-hmm. But the guys that actually walked out of it, like, and you went to different situations. He had 20 years here, so he didn't really get to see the other side of it. He saw other guys come in that didn't emphasize that. But what do you?
One thing I will say is, he was a heat guy.
Yeah, he was.
He was a heat guy. Player of the year, defensive player of the year, and his conference, the first player to do that. He was a heat guy, and he was co-signed by the King. King said we need a point guard. So he was co-signed by the King, so he was a heat guy. But just talk about it, though.
Man, when you're around winning, it's a habit, it's a culture. You become obsessed with it, the feeling of winning, the habits, the discipline, you know, the nastiness of winning, the intensity of it. So when you go somewhere else, it's like, they make you feel like you crazy. You know, I went to other places and I was like a lion being around a bunch of domestic cats. Like you have to like dumb it down so that you don't look like an outcast. But in my mind, I'm like, I know what it takes to win. And winning is not quote unquote fun all the time.
Yeah.
It's fun when you win.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
The process of getting to that fun is not always fun.
Man, I love
the intensity that it takes. And so, yeah, when I left Miami, and you know, played in other places, you know, went overseas and things like that, I had to realize like everybody can't play for the Heat. We're not built for everybody.
Listen,
I'm not crazy. I ain't the crazy one. Y'all the crazy one because we getting the results and winning. So I never backed off of that, you know, to this day.
I love the fact that you said that, and it just damn near made me want to shed a thug tear. No, for real, man. Because I tell people all the time, this shit ain't fun unless you're going to ride down Biscayne and with the parade.
That's the fun
part. When it's fun.
When you're getting sized up
for
the
ring. Yeah, that's when it's fun. But until then, it's going to be some sleepless nights. It's going to be some frustration.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a lot. It's going to be some anxiety. It's going to be a lot of things that you're going to feel on that run of trying to win the championship if you're really trying to get it done.
Exactly.
But up until then, you ain't having no damn fun. That shit ain't fun until you had a parade.
It's wild because you get drafted into a situation like that, and everyone's just thankful to be drafted, right? Like
facts.
When you come out or when you get on a team, whatever it
especially is. Especially come from Cleveland State.
Yeah, you come from the NBA, but you're just thankful to be on a team. But like most guys come on a team and they're just trying to find their way, and you find out like for me, Orlando is great, had a lot of vets, the only rookie on the team.
Rookie of the year?
Sure.
Go ahead, chill. I'm going to give you your flowers now, dog. Rookie
time.
Of the year, killer.
But I found out though, like being young on that veteran team, like winning was hard, but you didn't realize it when you're young. You walked right into it. Like, it's opposite. Usually you're searching for championships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's what ultimately how I got to Miami was I was searching championships.
And me.
Yeah, and you. Yes,
you took all my money, though.
See.
Boy.
See how I got to do it?
If I got a dollar every time I heard him say that, I'd be rich. Hey, if I got a dollar every time I heard him say that,
that mean I ain't lying, dog. That mean I ain't lying. It's all good, though. We made up. We cool.
Anyway,
we made up.
I'm gonna get back to what I was saying. When I'm searching for those like for you, you come in there and now you're like when you get done with two championships because your first 2 years in the league, it's championship. You're probably like, damn, this shit easy, ain't it?
Man,
I thought this is my reality. That's exactly what I was. Hey, killer. I was thinking this is real because it was up until we lost. That was my reality. So I was like, this is what it is. This is you come in, you work hard, you play well, you got a chance to win, you got good players, good vets, and you win. That was my reality. That was my reality for a long time, though, killer. You got to think. We won back-to-back championships in high school.
Yeah.
I got two championships in college, conference championships. Yes. So winning was like, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to win.
You heard that.
So
losing was actually a shock for you.
Losing, listen.
Hey, listen.
CB told me, it's funny, my rookie year, CB and Juwan was like, hey, bro, this situation that you're in right now, don't take it for granted. It's not like this for everywhere. And then CB was like, if you ever get out of this situation, you might need a shrink. and he was never lying. I told my dad,
leave it to CB to be spot on with
he was analysis. Spot on when
and
I was
wonder
like
why I ain't never leave
the first time I didn't win I was like this not it and then you know obviously we ain't been back I ain't been back since so I was like I need a shrink I'm 78 years in I need to be talking to the shrink right now because winning is addictive bro
So
that was my reality as a rookie. I didn't know no other way. I thought this is what we do. I had Killer, who's right here, my locker mate. I had James Jones on this side, my locker mate.
Ooh.
I had UD right across, Brian over there.
Yeah.
And so I was surrounded by winners, by greatness. So I'm like, this is what it is.
Ooh, you was between Killer and JJ.
Man, the conversation
was
shit
crazy. Going on over there.
It was a lot of
two motherfuckers.
It was a lot of money talk.
Shit,
it was one was saving the ultimate saving money talk. And you know, JJ.
We gonna say he frugal.
Very frugal.
That's what we. That's the word we gonna use for Champ. Champ just a little frugal.
Hey, Champ, and I want you to know I'm the same way. And then you got Mike over here talking about Let It Fly.
Making $1 million business
man,
deals.
Man, making Let It Fly, rubber bands and all type of stuff. So I'm learning.
A frugal ass
frugal and entrepreneur.
$1 billion Mike Miller over there.
And then we got Shane Battier next to us.
Touch the people.
Touching the
strength
people.
Strength and honor.
The conversationalist. So, yeah.
We had a great locker room.
Great locker room, man.
You had Birdman in there. Yeah, Birdman in there.
Nuts. We had it all.
Ray.
Role was over there crazy. They put him on his role.
Yeah.
Man, Bird.
I speak their language a little bit, but they speak a different language.
Oh, listen, God, Bird was my guy. Me and Bird had matching Corvettes and shit. We was just doing all kind of crazy
shit. I did too. We was all
me
in
and Bird was
going to
be a wrestler.
Leave me out of the Corvette Club. I was in the Corvette Club.
You was in the Corvette
Come
Club.
Come on now.
Hold up. You're about to say something. Which is
me and Bird was supposed to do WWE when we retired. 100%
would have been an unbelievable tag team.
We was going to be tag team.
Yeah, that'd been unbelievable.
Yeah.
At the Royal Rumble, that would have been
wrong. Yeah, me and Bird was going to be tag team wrestlers when we retired. That was the plan, and I ended up playing 20 seasons.
Yeah, you fucked it up.
Listen, I can still do it now.
I'm about to say.
I can still do it now.
I don't know.
Let me call Vince. No, I can't call Vince.
I'm about to say.
This done fucked up the money. Can't call Vince. We'll call somebody
call
else.
Dwayne
we call
Johnson,
Triple H.
Or call
Triple H. Holler at your boy. Coco hey, Be Well, Junkyard hey, Dog Part 2 right here.
Hey, dead ass though, that'd be an unbelievable tag team partnership.
It's going to be unbelievable. We're going to be tag team champs. Fuck you think? We doing it just to do it? We don't need the money. We doing it for the belt. Jack, didn't you hear this man say how addicting winning is? You think I'm coming in there just to be a fucking Jack?
It ain't going
to
be worldwide wrestling no more. They're going to be really powerbombing people, paralyzing people out there.
Shit.
Hey, Vince, Triple H, don't call this man. Leave that out. Hey,
man.
We be to hurt somebody for real out there.
And you're going to be our yeah, we're going to bring us out and then set up all our matches and talk all that shit. We're going to get it done.
How they gonna come out, killer?
Birdman
and Coco B. Well, Jr.
Oh, shit. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. That's right, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. Come on, man. Who doesn't want to do that? With NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Whether it's tournament season or a fight for the playoff home court, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of the year. Get in on the excitement. Get in on the action with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your latest hoops knowledge into some serious cash, bro. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from NBA and NHL to the League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron James, Caitlin Clark, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham, all in the same entry. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code OGs for your first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more or pick less. It's that easy.
So let's talk about it. Not to pivot move here before we get into wrestling talk. You go from here to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Talk about that experience and the difference, because I know you touched on it a little bit, but the difference of playing here and then going to a new spot, because I've been traded. Mm-hmm. He never has. So just enlighten him what getting traded is like.
Man, it's tough. Because I didn't receive a call.
He's had a boring life.
I saw it on the ticker. I saw it, on the ticker.
I don't like that.
And then my agent, like once
that.
It was
fine. I hear that.
Man,
when people don't get a call, like.
It was tough.
Listen, man. And I'm a Heat guy, but.
I got a call when I got traded, but it was on my birthday.
Damn.
Go ahead.
Woo. I don't know if you wanted to call. Well, so, I take it back.
That's
the day you shouldn't call. Let the man enjoy his goddamn birthday.
So, when it's on the ticker, it's not official until paperwork and stuff is done. So, my agent didn't even call me until it was, done. So, I had found out. Then when my agent called me, I was like, what's up? Because I had already saw it on ticker. And he gave me all the details. And it just so happened my first game was going to be against the Heat. So, I didn't have to leave my apartment.
That's crazy.
Was flying in. So, I signed with New Orleans. It was actually, fun playing there. I was able to show more parts of my game because, we had to sacrifice for our team. Mm-hmm. So I was able to show more of my offensive game, more of my playmaking ability.
Shit, you were hooping down there.
Yeah. Nah, it was fun. It was fun. Different, though. New Orleans is different than Miami, obviously. I like Miami better, but New Orleans is cool. So I like that the weather was nice. It was still in the South, so it was an adjustment, though, because they didn't do things the way we did things. Mm-hmm. It's like
Who are your bets over there?
I was just gonna ask, was that the Boogie and AD?
No. So it was AD, okay, Ryan AD. Anderson, Ryan Anderson. Drew.
Drew.
Drew had to be good.
Drew was great, but Drew was coming off of, you know, injuries. Yeah. You know, he had those injuries. Then his wife, you know, had that. So that was he was going through a tough situation there. Tyreek Evans was there. Eric Gordon was there. Mm. You know, Monty was the coach of the first year. Okay. We actually made the playoffs. Well,
okay.
So, you know, when I got there, it was good. We went on a 9-game winning streak. So that was fun. But we lost first round. That's when Steph Curry was, you know, tearing the league up. So I found out what that Western Conference
hadn't slowed
was like.
Down since.
Yeah. Listen, yeah.
Let me tell you something.
He's still tearing.
Tearing. Hey, bro. He tore us up, bro.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's still unbelievable to watch right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, it's still unbelievable to watch. But I want to touch on you having an opportunity to get to showcase your offensive game, because what people don't understand is when you walk in this organization, you automatically sign up to sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Like, it's not an option. It's actually frowned upon if you don't.
Yes.
You'll get weeded out.
Yes.
You'll get weeded out. So
you don't even ask why.
I didn't ask why.
No, you don't.
Nah, you
no,
don't.
You don't. Yeah, you don't even have a choice. You know what I'm saying? It's you got to be 4 feet in. You know, that's what we say.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say is, one of the coldest pull-up J's. With Cold World getting his spot and pull up on your ass,
yes,
you
sir.
Can forget about it. I'm talking about everybody talk about scorers, and one thing I understand about scoring is, like I said, I played a role, but one thing I understand about scoring is they have spots on the floor. Get to their spots, that shit is miss or make. You put your hand up, you can play whatever kind of defense you want.
Don't matter.
When certain guys get to their spots, it's miss or make. Cold World got to his spot, you can forget about it. It was bucket.
That little elbow. What? Little get to the elbow, get to the spot. Wing. 1, 2, 3, dribble, boom.
What? You can forget about it. So I was happy that you got a chance to showcase your game. Obviously, wasn't happy that you left, but I was happy that you got a chance to showcase your game. So I'm thinking, shit, this finna be what it is. You can just talk about what was next and after how it went after that.
Yeah, because I'm going to be honest. Like, just touching on it, kind of carrying with what you're saying there is, like, you won two championships, a vital part of two championships,
yes,
by the way.
Vital part.
People
vital
don't understand
part.
How hard that is, especially as a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go there and you expand your game in New Orleans and
go to the playoffs.
Yeah, go to the playoffs and still, you know, still win, but get better every year because that's who you are. You're a grinder. You're going to get better every year. I know I'm a college dropout, but the math ain't mathing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so how do you go from two championships to expand your game, get better in New Orleans, and then I look up and you're in Shanghai, he definitely dropped out.
He definitely dropped out.
You know what we always talk about? Learning the business of basketball.
Man.
I learned the hard lesson, the business of basketball, man. For y'all young fellas out there, when you have an agent, make sure you're involved in what's going on. Don't just let them handle stuff behind the scenes without you knowing. But it was my first time in free agency. Mm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so I had a powerful agent, and I let him do everything, all the negotiations. I didn't even think twice about it. Mm. But, you know, I did some bad negotiation. You know, just got to call it what it is, and I caught wind of it late, and I ended up firing him. And, you know, when you fire a powerful agent, you know, of course they're going to save face, and, you know, that's what happened. And, you know, tried to make it seem like I was the greedy one, which in reality I wasn't.
Yeah.
Especially my background coming from Cleveland
Never
State.
Never seen that in you. Never seen that in you.
And so, you know, that's what happened. So I ended up having to take a deal in China for a couple months, and then, you know, got injured out there, rehab 8 weeks, came back and got a chance in OKC, the Russell Westbrook triple-double year.
Yes.
But it was tough after that because, you know, when someone tries to damage your name and your reputation and they're a person that has leverage and has, you know, is looked at as a powerful agent, it's tough to kind of recover. But I was able to recover and still play, never miss no meals, family and everybody still good. Listen. Pops still retired. You know, I was able to get the house I've always wanted, the cars I've always wanted, things like that. So I was able to recover, but, you know, I missed out on a lot because of that. You know, I'm 70 maybe, you know, now I'm in my 12th season pro. I probably missed out 70, 80 million because of that. Yeah.
It's hard to make that up.
Oh, we gonna get it. We gonna get it.
You still should be playing.
Hell yeah, you still can be playing.
I'm still playing. By the way,
still can be playing.
How you take the glasses off and look at the camera? looking for a vet?
Hey, look here, man. It's all you NBA. How many NBA teams it is?
Man, there's 30 of them.
I watch a lot of basketball. You motherfuckers need some help. A lot of you motherfuckers need some help in y'all locker room. So a lot of this shit that's going on, like Oki Corral in y'all locker room. And if y'all could just get these 15 motherfuckers on the same page, y'all actually might have something going for yourself. But if you give 19, 20-year-olds millions of dollars and they think that they're going to understand what they need to do to send a team to the championship, keep 15 guys together, man, these motherfuckers can't walk and chew bubblegum yet. So at the end of the day, you need vets.
And on top
Real one right
and
here,
and on top of that, like,
That was great preaching, by the way.
No, you need vets, man. That's crazy to me.
Just rewind 7 minutes ago to what he was talking about, the value of winning and the championship and understanding it. Like, most important thing in that locker room is most of those guys on most teams, unless there's a couple of vets or guys that won championship, have no idea what they're walking into or what it takes. And he's in a position now where he's, you know, A, he's always, like, he came in here like this. He's in great shape. Man. He's still playing with G League Ignite, so he's still doing it. But I'm saying, like, just coming in there and being that, you know, whether it's 3 minutes one night or 22 minutes or be that spark, like, that's, to me, that's how you win championships.
I mean, when you look back at my career, and I never forget it, it was a comment by Dylan Brooks, was like, you know what I'm saying, we're not looking for a vet, like, that wants to come in and take minutes and different things like that, but can still play and contribute if needed.
Right.
But they really just looking for a guy for guidance. You know what I'm saying? You got to lead these young motherfuckers with love. They need guidance. They talented as shit. The talent level right now is unmatched. I've never seen talent like what we watching there. Right. Wembanyama and all this Chet, these motherfuckers are 7'8".
They aliens.
And they dribbling in the basketball, bringing it up the floor, starting the offense. And if you step back, they'll pull up three on your ass. It's unheard of. I got out right in time. I don't want none of that. So if you look at that, you know what I'm saying? The talent is there. But how do you mold that? Talent don't get you fired. Talent don't get you hired. Talent get you fired. You know what I'm saying?
Potential.
You can have talent.
Yep,
you know what I'm saying?
Potential, that's one thing.
Yep. But molding it and handling it is a whole other thing. And I think when you talk about a guy like Cole Worrell, he embodied everything that I embody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Still staying in shape, even though you're probably not going to play. But that sets an example for the people around you. So the other 15 guys in the locker room, 14 guys in the locker room, have no excuse not to be in shape.
Exactly.
If Cole Worrell is in shape and he's probably not going to play tonight, why am I not in shape? You know what I'm saying? So it's a standard. And it's frowned upon if your ass is not in shape when a guy like Cole Worrell got rings, 35 years old, and he making the body fat every time. Now you put pressure on motherfuckers to hold the standard.
He said the body fat.
Waiting body fat.
Now you put pressure on motherfuckers.
Beside Miami?
Listen. No. Now you putting pressure on motherfuckers to hold the standard, dog.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And that's where it's got to start with a guy like that in your locker room.
And that's the leadership part, you know, the example.
Yeah.
You know, that's the showing them. Like you said, they don't understand what it looks like.
Nope.
You know, they know how to play, dunk, you know, shoot threes, stuff, but the professional part of it, you know, the preparation part of it. Because preparation is the difference from winning and losing. You know, everybody can run fast, jump high, dunk, shoot threes, but who's taking care of their body after the game, before the game? You know, the guys who play 20 minutes or less, we in the weight room. You know, after the game, we in the weight room, we running. We got to stay right after the game. That's just what it is. Mm-hmm. That's to this day, that's what it is. And so, you know, I believe that I can do that. And I've always, you know, tried to do that, and I'm continuing to do that.
So for any team getting ready for the playoffs, that's the play to me. But with that being said, and playoffs coming around the corner, who you got coming out of the East?
I'll say this. Nobody wants to play, obviously, Miami if they're healthy.
Great point.
You know, nobody's won more games than Spo other than Golden State this last decade. So nobody wants to play
Miami.
Great
point.
I honestly believe that if Milwaukee is healthy, I believe that having Dame and Giannis, I think they're going to eventually figure it out. The Celtics, I'm nervous because they live and die by the three. You know, if they making their threes, then you ain't got no chance. But we all know you can go for three or four games not shooting it well. And in those games, when you got a guy like Giannis who's going to be using up fouls and offensive rebounding, and Dame who can close it out, or Jimmy who, once he sent something sweet out there, once he feels something sweet out there, you know, he going to expose it. So I would have to say Milwaukee or Miami is who I would pick. You know, even though Boston is playing the best right now, I would, in the series, I believe Giannis and Dame are closers, and they can use up a lot of fouls. And Jimmy, Bam, and Spo, nobody has more experience than them. So those are the two teams that I'd probably go with.
I like that.
I mean, at the end of the day, it really comes down to which team can muddy it up, based on what you're saying, muddy it up to game seven against Boston, and you hope you miss shots.
Yep. Now, because they make all their three. I mean, if they make 30, 33, 43.
But you know how it comes. You get down to game seven.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Buddy. And let me tell you something. It ain't that easy to shoot that pumpkin in the game seven, brother.
Right. You're right about that.
Or a closeout game.
And listen, when you go 48 minutes and you have to work for every shot you get, that wears on you, man. And then in the fourth quarter, I'm left. You start missing right. You start being a little short. Like, you know what I'm saying?
The team who got the best second unit, though, normally is the team that wins anyway, though. You know?
Great point.
That's Golden State all of those years. Stephen was great, but they second unit used to smash teams. Like our team.
Yeah.
You know, we had the big three, and they was awesome as it gets. But our second unit, we used to come in, and if we was down eight, when the starters got back in, we was only down two.
I'm happy you brought up our team and the depth we had, because I think people need to understand. You know what I'm saying? Like how talented we were. And there's two things I want to touch on. The iron sharpens iron thing. People don't understand. We all play one-on-one all the time against each other after practice, except for the shooters.
Right. The sniper unit. Yeah, they had their own thing going on.
Yeah, they were like, they like field, they like field
they
goal
like
kickers.
They like special ops.
Yeah, they like field goal
kickers.
Leave
them alone.
Take
Leave
your ass
alone.
Down there and kick. Just get on the other side and just kick. They didn't have to do all
you
that.
Go down there and kick?
Yeah, just get your ass down there and
they
kick.
They was kicking.
But people don't understand that we play one-on-one all the time. So it was a comment that when people talk on, they asked about us playing one-on-one. And the one time that I did watch Dwayne and Bron play, Dwayne won that game. That doesn't mean Dwayne's a better basketball player than LeBron, but Dwayne won that game. But it was always iron sharpening and iron. I used to go one-on-one against CB.
Yes, sir.
CB would beat me sometimes. I would beat CB sometimes. Then we had B's come in. Nobody couldn't beat that motherfucker. He was just a
one-on-one player.
Yeah,
he's a straight hooper.
Nobody was beating B's. But with all that said, could you please elaborate on the take of iron sharpening iron's one, where everybody playing one-on-one, and obviously we understand who our best player was, and two, the importance of a Chris Bosh and what he brought to our team, because I think people don't understand. I would never say that Chris was the best player on our team at that time.
For sure.
But with that being said, Bron and D-Wade, all downhill attacking guys, when Chris Bosh is standing in that corner and you got a guy that can space the floor for you all the way to the three.
At the five,
how much easier that makes the game of basketball?
Yeah, so the iron sharpens iron. That's what we're about. Competition.
Nobody was scared of that smoke.
Nobody. I mean, that's the makeup of our team, though. Like, we didn't have to rah-rah our way to that. That's who you was. That's who I am. You know, that's who Rio is. That's who D-Wade at the core. That's who he is. LeBron at their core are competitors. Killer, yes. You know, when they down there shooting, doing their competition, we were all competitors. And so our practices led to when we got into the game, it was easy because if we could go at each other as hard as we did and we loved each other, what you think we're going to do to a team we don't care nothing about?
Yeah.
And so that was the mentality of iron sharpens iron, man. We did the same thing every day.
Yeah.
It was like clockwork. We're going to do in that dumb Indian run. We're going to do 5-on-0, all the plays, down and back, once, twice, 2, 3, 4 times. We're going to do the specialty plays, pistol hammering
yeah,
Ray,
yeah.
Which we only ran one time during the year, and it worked.
It did work.
And then we get the competition, strap them up, mouthpiece in, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5, knee pads up. And so when we got to the game and we could actually just breathe a little bit, it was fun, you know. Yeah.
The game was easy.
Yes,
it was easy
for sure.
It was easy
for sure because we had, you know, it's like you ain't going against CB when you step out there in the court. I ain't going against, you know, the backups. We ain't going against D-Wade, Mike, and Bron on the other team. They don't have that combination. So it was like whoo, whoo. And so from that instance, the iron did sharpen iron, our competitive nature. And then when you talk about the dynamics of our team,
man,
you don't gotta apologize for it. We was there. We played with them. We know what the strategy was for other teams trying to stop us. We know what our strategy was, so we don't got to apologize. You was right. You know, we didn't have nobody like CB. You know, when we played in the finals, Serge Ibaka was blocking everything.
Yeah.
He don't respect. If CB not standing out there, guess what? He not standing out there.
Yeah.
He's going to stand close to the basket.
We had to put Serge ass in the far corner.
We put CB way over there.
Keep him over
and
there.
And if he's helped off a little bit, Bron and D-Wade was going to tap the rim. Find him corner three. That's the importance of CB in a nutshell. And we beat them, 4-1?
Yeah. And for all you motherfuckers out there that was saying, oh, well, you must be saying you ain't that good because you was CB backup. Go check the film we played Indiana when CB was hurt. Man, show you how good I am. I'll show you how good I am.
Right, right.
Go check the film we played Indiana and CB was hurt. Really, I can answer that question.
Hey, producers, do me facts. A favor during this, man. Let's run some UD highlights.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Because we was out there doing
the first thing you motherfucker said was, oh, you was CB backup, so you must be saying you ain't that good.
Killer,
go check the film.
I'm going to help you out. I'm going to keep it because this world's getting real lazy.
Yeah, they call it casuals, Killer. Yeah,
instead of making them go out there and look at it, I'm just going to play. We're just going to play it.
Oh, yeah, give them the film when CB was out.
We got the power of play.
Yeah, we could do that.
Right.
And shut that shit up real
quick. So some of mine, too, in that Indiana. Indiana, Chicago got a lot of work. They got a lot of second unit work.
Hey, man, listen.
They got a lot of
speaking
work.
Speaking of that, What about that lob? Let's go back to the lob. Just let's replay the lob.
NBA's moments, right? Like the lob. Get older like us, when you get older like us, you're not old like us yet, right? But you're getting there.
Stop, killer. Stop.
But you are. Like, hopefully you do get there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But not
like
too
NBA
fast.
Becomes snapshots for you,
man.
And that right there was an NBA snapshot. Man, that I'll never forget. And listen, you're involved in it. So talk about that lob.
I like Jason Terry, man. Me and JT cool, but God damn.
Hey. I think our whole team. I think our whole bench got teed up for that on that play.
When it happened, I'm going to be honest. Did y'all think it was going to be like this viral? We talking about 10, 15?
No.
That's what I tell people. I didn't think nothing of it.
Other than
it was a momentum changing play. I didn't think it was going to be like, because it wasn't the best lob we ever had. Yeah. It was a lot of lob over the years, but.
Yeah, but it was a body.
He just jumped over
it. And it was because it was Boston. They was talking trash. I think that's what it was. But I had just turned it over.
Yeah.
Tried to make up for it, which we did. Got the back tip. You know, D-Wade, you know, kicked it up to me. I had a layup, but I heard the freight train. I heard
it. What it sound like?
You can hear it.
Hey, listen, don't nobody get out. When it's a steal,
nobody get out.
Everybody
fast
else just get the fuck out the way.
Train coming.
Because the freight train coming.
Yeah. There was two times two certain scenarios in Miami that I always knew. Is if they were running down for a break, my whole job was just to cut the guy off and make him change direction because Brown was going to fucking throw it off the backboard.
For sure.
And on the offense, he turned and went the opposite direction faster than any human being I've ever seen in my life.
Man, like, I heard him, bro. I didn't even see him. I just heard him. And so, when I heard him, I was just like, oh, okay, no layup here. I just had to make sure it was high enough that JT didn't tip it. Like, and that's what it was. And it was the fact that he probably should have not jumped. You know, he probably should have just turned and got out the way, or you know, but he was feeling froggy. He thought I was about to turn it over. Like, he thought I was throwing it to nobody because he didn't see LeBron until it was too late.
Shit, ain't nobody see him until it was too late.
Hey, well,
I didn't see him coming either. I was watching you. I was focused on you on the break.
Yeah.
I didn't see LeBron coming.
That's that PG radar vision.
Is that what you got?
Is that PG radar? Because you heard him, but and I was like, oh, nah, he close. Like, he close enough to where you could just like. Just put it anywhere in the atmosphere.
Bro, like, that's the same thing D-Wade said. Like, you just throw it up in the atmosphere. Like, you don't know where he at. You don't know what's just going on. But you know he coming. You just throw it up somewhere.
Yep. And he going to dunk it left or right hand. Like, the one thing he going to do, he going to catch the ball and finish.
One thing is so impossible when people ask about him and playing alongside of him is how fast, how athletic. He never mishandled any pass. Like, man. You throw it anywhere. I mean, it was just, he was
gift,
so
bro.
Fast, man.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was a gift.
Just get out of the way.
So let's talk about now, let's fast forward now to where you're at now. So playing with G League Ignite.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what to people at home, like, you know, obviously people that are all into basketball know what the G League Ignite is, but some people won't. So explain what the G League Ignite is, what your role at G League Ignite is, and what it's like there.
So G League Ignite is the NBA's team for young players who didn't want to take the traditional college route and who didn't want to go overseas. So it's like a transition phase from high school to the NBA, that in-between phase. And so I'm with a bunch of 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old guys who are very, very talented for their age. Most of them are number one in the country at their age group.
Wow.
And so my job there is to be like a player coach. You know, I'm there to practice with them, show them the habits.
Yes.
You know, I play, you know, in the game. If you know, things get a little out of control or, you know, they need to learn some lessons, like sit down and watch. And it's my job to come in there and be solid.
I've watched a bunch of games. You control the whole thing, too.
Yes, sir.
Love
yes, sir.
Shit.
Yes,
love
sir.
It, love, so, it, love it.
And then, you know, another guy named John, you know, John Jenkins, he's there with me, too. And Mike Frazier, other vets that are there who played in the NBA, had some stints in the NBA. So we're there just to be, you know, that guiding light for them. They ask us all the questions in the world.
That's
you know,
good.
What's
That's
it like?
Good. That's good.
You know, you think I'm good enough, or what do I need to work on, or why do you, you know, John, why, because he's a shooter, he's like, why you shoot so much at me, like, how are you still in shape like this, why, what is your motivation, and so those type of questions they ask, and they get to see us every day, and we get to work with them every day.
I think that's genius by the NBA, because the stuff that you're talking about, now, just, again, for people at home that don't know much about G League Ignite, you're talking about guys like Jalen Green came out of there, Jonathan Kuminga came out of
yes.
there,
Scoot.
Scoot Henderson came out of there. You got probably three lottery picks coming out of there again this year, three
Absolutely.
Top 20 picks coming out of there this year. So to have that and for them to be able to bounce that off of guys that have done it and to hear what you've been talking about this whole time, like, because that's the whole thing I try to do with kids now is build in routines and habits,
mm-hmm.
right? Because
it's
professional routine.
That's what I'm saying. Professional, yeah, professional routine. You talked about yeah, it in Miami. Like, we're going to do the same thing over and over again every day.
Yep.
But that's why we are great at it.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely.
And you see the progress and the getting better. So I think it's genius, and I think it's awesome that you're doing it. I really do.
I mean, that's priceless. You can't put a price tag 100%. On that.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like you said, you got a couple of kids that are going to be top three, a couple of the kids that are three of those kids that are going to be the top 10 or whatever. So you can't fast track that kind of experience. The only thing you're going to do is be able to be around somebody and go through it. But if you got a guy like Cole Worley in your locker room, then he can help those guys with some of those things. And it also gives a guy that they can trust. Once again, I always go back to trust.
Yes, sir.
As much as I might love playing for Spo or Rouse or something as a young kid, I'm not picking up the phone and calling Spo or Rouse. No, for real. I'm not. They're not from where I'm from. They don't understand nothing I got going on. Spo don't know nothing about having drug dealers for homeboys and decision making with baby mamas and all that. I'm calling one of my OGs.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be judged. Right. You know what I'm saying? I might not want a response. I might just want you to listen.
Yeah.
As soon as you call Spo or Pat, you're going to get a response.
And you might get judged.
Yeah, you might get judged. No, you might get judged. And it's not a knock on them, but they got to run an organization. Yeah, they got 15 sure. guys to worry right. about. You just want to call your OG, and you just want to get some advice for your OG. And that's priceless, bro, to have somebody that you can trust that's going to tell you the right things for you. And it ain't going to be like, for me, it's for you only. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I ain't telling you what to do for me. I ain't telling you what I want you to do for the organization. I'm telling you what I want you to do for yourself. How can you help yourself? That's priceless.
And that's the great part about it, because, you know, y'all was my OGs. And so, you know, some of the things that we would talk about,
I was probably a better OG than he was, though.
Man. Y'all had y'all
Million Dollar Man, Mike Miller.
Y'all had y'all differences.
Ted DiBiase, you know. Ted DiBiase Miller.
I used to do your shooting routine, though.
Yeah.
You know how you run the half court, yeah, to the corner, yeah, and then you shorten it up, run,
yeah,
to the break,
yeah,
and then you slide from the break, yeah, to the slot, and slide from the slot to the break, yeah, and then run from half court to the top. I still do that.
Wow.
You know, I had that. I incorporated, other than, you know, the ball handling part, because, yeah, I'm a point guard, but, yeah, I incorporated that. So I stole some of that from, yeah, you. And so
I'll
be teaching my young cats that, but then the working out, lifting weights, being a maniac, you know, you know.
Yeah, you ain't gonna look over here for me.
Nah. And my young fellas at Ignite, they'll tell you, they be like, bro, they be like, Cole, you is so crazy. And I'd be like, nah, you gotta compete, bro.
You have to.
Once you step out there, and the only way to compete is to be in shape.
Yeah.
They be like, you don't never seem like you flustered or worried. And it's like, you don't have to be flustered and worried when you know you're strong. Prep. You know, yeah, you ain't going to get tired. So when I run into, when I'm playing defense or when I'm dribbling the ball, I'm not worried about running through this screen. That's what we lift weights for.
Yeah.
You know, guy reaching in, I'm not worried about him reaching in on me. Like, this is what we lift weights for. Like, confrontation, what are we worrying about confrontation for? This is what we work out for. Yeah. So, you study in film.
You got to take his glasses off.
With you on that one.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
With you on
and then
that.
You study in film. So when you study in film, I know what he's probably going to do, so I'm getting my mind ready. And so that's what I tell these young guys. They're like, how you know to make that pass? I'm like, young fellow, in film, what did they do? He's like, they show. So when they show, that's 2-on-1. So when he short rolls, the math, now we're at an advantage. That's, yeah, why I don't have to look. If he shows and the guy guard goes over, the short roll's open automatically. Mm.
Now you created an advantage.
Yep, and if the short roll ain't open, that means somebody pre-rotated, that means the skip is open.
Yep.
And so these are the things that they ask. They're like, how do you see those things? And so I get to do what y'all used to do for me.
Man.
I got the answers to the test, and I just get to give it to them, and it gives me fulfillment because I don't get nothing out of,
yes,
it. I just, you,
yes,
know, help them. You,
yes,
know, so that's,
yes,
that's the great part about Ignite.
So we'll see what you're doing with them, which is incredible. If you could do that same role to yourself, what's the best advice you give your younger version? So, like, basically you're playing your same role now, but you're telling yourself at 21 years old when you came into Miami, or 23 when you're in New Orleans, 24 when you're in New Orleans. Like, what's the best advice that you can give yourself, your younger version of yourself?
I'm going to be honest, Killer. Be more involved on the business side. That's what I tell myself. Because I worked out, bro, I was with y'all.
Yeah.
I worked out with Bron. I worked out with D-Way. I worked out with you. Like,
and he wouldn't go out either. Remember that? You wouldn't go out either.
No, I didn't go out.
I hate to cut you off.
Yeah, I didn't do none of that.
But he wouldn't go out.
Cole, I was World, in the gym at 1 or 2 in the
Cole
morning.
Let's go out here. Let's do this. Nah, damn, you don't want to go.
Like,
he wouldn't go out. Like, he was ahead of the game with his age, and he was a very mature, yeah, young fella. I ain't just saying that. See, I couldn't say that about Bees yesterday. But this motherfucker, he wasn't out. He wouldn't do nothing. He wouldn't go nowhere, bro.
I was just being true to who I really was. Yeah. I didn't want to be all get into the NBA all of a sudden and turn into somebody that I'm,
yeah,
not. Like, I know that ain't what I do, and it's no knock that that's what you do. That's just, that ain't what I do. All I knew at Cleveland State not known for basketball. Now it is because of what, yeah, I did, but no one knew, so I was just
say
trying
again
to make it.
Now it is.
Yeah, it is. Shout out to Cleveland State. Shout out to Cleveland State. It's known now. But I was just trying to continue that work ethic that got me there. And what got me there was 6 a.m. at Cleveland State, 12 p.m. noon, 8 p.m. at night for practice, and then midnight shoot again. Like, so I was trying to keep that same routine until I could get, you know, paid and take care of my family. So that was my mentality.
I gotta recant one of my statements. I used to say Miami was undefeated, but I gotta say Miami won in 99. It is not undefeated. He beat it. He beat it. Cold World stayed out of the streets. Cold World kept them girls out of his sheets. Cold World handled his business down here. And I will say that about it.
I try to keep my personal life private.
As you should.
That's what it was. As you should. I had my fun, but I just kept the main thing the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I always appreciated that about you as a young fella, too. Yes, sir. I will say that. Stayed out them streets. Stayed out them streets.
You know, Cole, on here in the OGs, we are a man of the people. So we are going to go to fan questions because they have a lot of them for you.
Hold up, man. What we got to tell these people, well, we don't ask no dumbass questions.
No dumbass
questions. Take these glasses off. Don't ask no dumbass questions and do not get mad to the responses that you get. Don't DM me. I don't want to hear that shit. Please, stop it. Stop it, man, for real.
Hopefully they got some good questions.
Man, they be tripping. Which one you want to go to, Killer?
Man, that's a good question. I'm pulling them up for the first
time. Who is the toughest player to guard in the league? I like that one because I'm a defensive guy. So who is your toughest?
Toughest guy was the healthy Derrick Rose, without question. It's like, it's no question about it.
Gosh, damn, this is the undefeated one. That's
man, a lot of people saying that. Yeah. Shout out D. Rose. Give him his flowers.
Derrick Rose in Chicago was not to be played with.
Yes, it was.
Your favorite guards couldn't do nothing with him. It's... Derrick Rose was.
That's a great one.
And you saw MVP Derrick Rose,
yeah,
too.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, remember when we played him, it might have been my rookie or second year. The only reason we won is because, you know, we just happened to have Brian on the team. Yeah. You know, he had 34, Brian had 35. We did all we could.
That's
bro.
When they had Noah and all them boys.
Taj Gibson, all of them.
Yeah.
But D Rose was the toughest guy to guard for sure.
D Rose.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
Another question for you from @AnthonyD_Heat. How did you find out Miami traded for you on draft night, and what was your reaction to that? Because I'll be honest, it's a perfect spot for you. Like, you need touched on at the beginning, like, player of the year, defense player of the year, right there, boom, boom, checks two boxes for Miami. Bron needed the point guard, checks another box. So it was a perfect fit. But how did you find out, and what was your reaction?
So, obviously, I was just excited to get my name called. Mm. But I had been paying attention to the whole draft, so I saw that the team that picked me wasn't going to keep me because they had – multiple trades going on.
Oh, wow.
And so
who picked you?
Chicago Bulls.
Chicago and then the Minnesota.
Yeah. And so it was like, that was fun just being drafted. So I was like, oh, whatever. Like, I don't care where I go.
Yeah.
But then like a few moments later, we saw the ticker. Miami had bought up because they had the first pick in the second round.
Yeah.
Pat and them had paid money to buy up to get that pick. And so the house kind of went crazy. It went crazy. The house, it went crazy. You know, because we all, you know, watched the finals and all that. And then, you know, Brian being from Ohio and I was in Cleveland, you know, still living up there, working out, training. So, like, it was like a match, like match made in heaven. And I knew I was going to be playing for something. You know, I was like, oh, shoot, we about to be playing for
That's what you want.
We about to
That's
be
exactly
playing for
what
something.
That's what you
so,
want.
That was how I found out. Then my agent called with the particulars, you know, because when, it's, like I said, when stuff happened on the ticker, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Sure.
So my agent, once everything was settled, my agent called and gave me the particulars and was like, nah, this is where we going. And I was like, let's do it.
I love it. I got another question. Thoughts on the current Heat? We touched on this a little bit too, but give us your thoughts on the current Heat, where they're at. I think we all say the same thing on this one. Like, no one wants to see them in a 7-game series right now.
Yeah.
Get healthy, but give us your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think right now they're trying to find their rhythm as they get close to the playoffs and hopefully, you know, get everybody healthy. I think Terry Rozier is a great pickup, you know, for them.
T-Row.
You know, scary Terry.
Scary to go with Hero in that backcourt. I don't think nobody's going to want to play them. I think especially with Spo. Spo's the X factor. I don't think anybody can really outcoach Spo, you know, at this point in time in his career.
Spostra Nostra.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, even if it is, even on the court, I think on the sideline – I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to Spo. So, yeah, I think they have a chance to get back to the finals.
What Another you got to say about that, Killer? Hold on.
No, I agree. I'll be honest. Like, to me, and it's very, very simple. In a 7-game series with that roster, that team that's done it before, with Spo on the sidelines, and you know this better than anyone. You saw it through when they were the 8 and got in there. You know what I mean? Like,
That's going to be the hardest out anyone in the East has to see. I don't care.
I just wanted you to say Boston so I could dive on your ass.
Well, no. Listen, Boston's playing the best basketball right now.
They are playing the best.
They've got four dudes.
Yes.
They're very, very talented. I agree with what Cole said
there's
on here.
There's dudes and there's dogs.
Uh-huh. No. Let me finish. You asked me a question.
Okay, I'm just saying. You got dudes and you got dogs.
They do rely, and it's hard for me to say this because I love three-point shooting. They do rely heavy on the three-point
do
shooting. But that can come, you know, like, at the same time, those things can win three games. This is the fourth game to one, right? So I just know, like, to me, I just know too much about Miami, and that's going to be a hard out, man. It's going to be a hard out, bro.
For sure.
It's going to be a hard out.
Oh, I appreciate that, Killer. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
You know, I'm the vice president of player development.
He is vice president of player development. That's why everyone keeps getting better over there.
Okay, you?
Oh, yeah, you know me, Cobra. I got, like, 15 jobs.
Here's a good one. Most hardworking teammate you played with.
That's hard to pick one. I'm going to be honest. I can't pick one because all of them did their jobs. Mm-hmm. All of them did the extra work that was their job. And so Mike, James, Jones, Ray, that's the sniper unit. Mm-hmm. No one shot more shots than them. you know, I worked hard at my job, making sure I was in shape and knowing the defensive coverages and knowing how to get those guys the ball. UD, you know, when you talk about defensive positioning and picking and popping, short rolling and competing at the highest level, being in shape, you know, UD, you know, I always thought I was in the best shape, but, you know, UD was always in tremendous shape. And then you got Bron and D-Wade. Them cats worked at their craft like no other, you know. So it's hard to pick one to say who worked the hardest. We all worked pretty hard.
I think we all learned from each other,
too. Yeah, we did.
Like, we all watched each other. We took a little bit from what this guy did and implemented it in our own workouts and our own process. Like you say, you took something from Mike. I took something from Bron. I've never seen nobody beat to the gym 2 hours before. And he probably rode a 10-speed.
Yes.
And by the time you got there, he's already lift weights.
Yes, sir.
He's already got his shots up. He's already got his treatment. Now practice starts. Now he gonna kick ass and take names in practice,
right.
And then after that he gonna get to his spots and work
Pilates
on,
and do all that.
Man,
stuff.
He gonna get to his spots and then he gonna go to Pilates and all that. So just understanding just how to maximize your career and get the most out of yourself and take care of your body and different things like that. I was able to take that from Bron. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
CB, I never seen nobody move slower, and it's not a knock on CB, but CB gonna get to his spot.
Tactician, bro.
He's gonna break you down.
He's gonna break you down.
You know what I'm saying? Just understanding the game. You know, so everybody was just learning something from each other, and I think we all helped each other be better. You know
what
I mean?
That's a fact.
The one thing I learned from Miami and from that team more than anything was just the professionalism of practice, man. Like, because I've been to certain places. I've been at that point probably four different teams, I think. And like the joy I had in practice, watching the practice, like it was like, come on, man. Like, And to me, obviously, heat culture has a lot to do with it. But culture is only as good as your best players, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Yeah.
And, and to me, LeBron and D-Wade and CB started with the Army base when we had you weren't, you know, fortunately for you, probably. It was one of the hardest training camps I ever had to do with my life.
Yeah.
But it started there, but then it never died off.
No.
Like, if we had a back-to-back, yes, it'd be a little lighter, whatever. But if you walked into practice, man, it was mouthpieces in, knee pads up, and your best pairs were trying to kill you.
Man, it
was
on.
And our second unit was trying to give it right back.
It was on.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
No, if you came in there on an off day and wasn't ready, if you came in there and not mentally right, you was going to get exposed.
Oh, yeah, you'll
get
exposed.
And on a team that talented, that dictated some playing time, too, now.
Yeah, for
sure.
You ain't going to just get exposed in practice, and you're going to get 24 minutes the next day.
No,
sir.
For sure. No, you was nervous.
Yeah.
You come in there.
Hey, because listen, if that happened, Mr. Grumbill, hey, if that happened, somebody had something to say. Somebody tear locker room up.
Man, hey, I'm just saying.
Somebody tear locker room up. Hey.
But that's the one thing, man, I really do. I you know, it's, and again, these are things like when people ask you about playing in Miami, you can't even express it. Unless you were there and it was video recorded. Like,
no.
Right.
Like those practices were, I mean.
That's why for y'all out there who trying to critique what you said and what I doubled down on, if you weren't there, you don't know.
Yeah, no, you have no
clue. If you weren't there and didn't see it every day, you don't know.
The reality of the situation, you guys are, again, everyone gets mixed up in the social media era. You guys aren't saying he's the best player.
Clearly.
He's the most important player on our team.
Yes.
Yes. Like, we all know who the best player is. He's still the best player 21 years in.
Yes.
We, like,
right. Yes, in my opinion.
Right, right.
Yeah, in my opinion, he's
keep
still
it in context, you casuals out there.
In my opinion, he's still
for sure. Like, and we love y'all.
I say this time and time again. We had a front row seat to greatness.
Oh, man.
And it wasn't just D Wade. It wasn't just Bron. It was D Wade as well. 100%. But it'd be times in practice where Bron would go to a level that nobody else could go to. And the whole practice just stopped.
He had an elevator that had different floors.
He just the whole practice just stopped, and you'd be like,
all right, what's next, Bo? Like,
because can't none of us do that.
Yeah. What's next? Like, cause this cat's on something different today.
Yeah, and in fairness, man, we've touched on that a couple times. In fairness, D Wade go to them levels too now.
Don't leave that part out.
That's what he was saying. That's why he said,
because there was times where if Bron needed a break or he was hurt or whatever. We can get the same production. We talking about a guy who at one point, I think, I don't know exactly what year it was. I was here because I was here all those years. It might have been 2008 or something. But D-Wade probably could have won MVP that year.
2009.
He averaged 30
that year.
He probably should have won MVP that year. You know what I'm saying? So we talking about a guy who was also at one point considered the best in the world.
D-Wade was one of the most calming factors for me on this team. Like, every time
damn,
I saw him.
Damn, killing him, really? I couldn't calm you?
Wait, no. What
no, you couldn't. To answer your question, no.
But I'm saying, like if you walked out of a timeout, it was 2 minutes left and it was a one possession game, like, you always knew that motherfucker was about to do something.
He just over there chewing his gum.
That's what I'm saying. Just like, chewing his gum. Such a calm, like, it was like, yo, like, he's about to do something. Whether it's a big block, it's a steal, it's one of them pull up, you know, get your hand ones. Like, he always, like, I don't know. He was one of those calming factors for me, man. Like, every time we walked out of the huddle, I was like, okay, we're going to be straight.
And then you knew if D-Wade or Bron or one of those guys was out or both of those guys out, you could book CB for 35.
100%.
You can book him for 35.
Remember in Portland?
Man.
And hit the game winner.
What he told him? No. We're going for the game winner.
Right. That's exactly what he said. No. We're going for three.
We're going for the game winner. Fuck that.
Facts.
All draws.
Made it look easy?
What? Listen, people don't understand. You know how hard it is to shoot a pick and pop three?
Oh, yeah. We did the same thing in San Antonio.
Yes.
At the end of the season when they sat out and we won in San Antonio. CB hit another dagger three to win that one.
It's like CB was cold. He was ahead of his game. I mean, ahead of his time,
in
bro.
In a tribute to CB making it look too easy, one of our segments.
Great point. He did make it look
too
easy.
Sponsored by our boys at Morgan & Morgan. If you experience injury at someone else's fault, call Morgan & Morgan. Call. They deliver.
They deliver.
They can't promise everything, but they deliver.
Okay.
Which leads us to this too easy segment. And who you got this time for the too easy segment? I got Luka Doncic. He's putting up NBA 2K. Listen, I'm done playing with y'all numbers.
I'm not changing.
I know, but we gotta pick one each day.
I gotta pick a different one?
Yeah, I mean, you can't keep doing the same guy. I know your boy Shay.
Until SGA sweat, why can't I pick him? The man goes for 35.
He makes a good point.
That's
he don't sweat. I'm still waiting for the man.
SGA.
I don't know what kind of diet. He can't possibly smoke or drink because he don't even sweat out nothing. He sweats no toxins out.
Cool as the other side of the pillow.
I'm saying the man go for 35.
So y'all have a problem with my Luka. I mean, look at them numbers, dog.
Yeah, but they don't.
34.6, 9.8, 9, and 1.4 steals.
Oh, he got the shits with him now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, knock on Luka. He the man.
Ain't no knock.
He just don't make it look as easy as SGA.
Yeah. And he's an Ole on defense, too. But that's a whole other thing.
Ole, you heard that.
Potato Ole?
No, you're doing too much now.
I'm just trying to hear. Luka's, I have bad hearing.
Listen, Luka's we all know Dallas offense, ain't known for their defense.
They ain't known for their defense.
We know that. Dallas ain't known for their defense.
Yeah, that's why I'm going with SGA or Ant-Man.
Great point.
Okay, well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, y'all put a
so
lot of
if
pressure
you don't want
on
me to pick,
forever,
if I can't go SGA again, then I'm gonna go Joker. I'm going to go Joker. He makes it look easy all the time.
At the
end of the day, it is easy for Joker.
Yeah, it is easy. Yeah, he makes it look easy all the time.
And he don't even like basketball.
Too easy.
I will say this. I love my boy Joker. He got a lot of people twisted with that. He loves basketball.
Yeah, nah, I just said sarcastically. He be tricking them.
No, he be tricking
them. He loves horses, though.
Yes, he loves them. He loves them.
Yeah. I mean, I think what people got
to. The game is too easy for him, man. Like I saw something Jamal Crawford came out with the other day. He's like, he plays the game backwards, which I thought was genius. He's like, he doesn't even want to score 30. He wants to do this, but all of a sudden he scores 30. He said he plays the game backwards. That's a genius.
I mean, I tell people this all the time, man. Like, do you want to go to work every day? Like,
of course.
You know what I'm saying? Of course. You can love the game of basketball, and you can love, you know, what it does for you and the impact and everything for your family, but that don't mean you want to play every day. That don't mean you want to go to work every day. Like, you know what I love? I love competition. I don't give a fuck if it's Chinese checkers. Line that shit up.
I'm with you.
So
I
don't know if I love Chinese checkers. Line that shit up. So I don't know if I love basketball, but I fucking love competition. And I just happen to be a basketball player. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not, if he don't love basketball, so fucking what? He love his family, I'm sure. Right. You know what I'm saying? His he love the people he's supposed to love. He love the things he's supposed to love. And he might just like fucking basketball, and he's the ultimate competitor. And he's fucking good at it.
Great at
Who
it.
Who gives a fuck? People at home always got something to say about what somebody say.
Hey, listen, man, and we're going to put this on here because I know we got unbelievable producers back there. That shit they had going on this summer with the way LeBron was training and then Joker's off season, and then what Joker's doing, that shit had me in stitches, bro. We got to put that on. Joker's on the table, fat man dancing, right over there 24-7.
Hey, man,
that
listen.
That shit was hilarious.
Hey, listen, what I will say is Joker, Pat Mahomes, they unicorns. People at home, don't try that.
Don't try that.
Do not think you can look like that and get that production.
That ain't
for everybody.
Hey, but I'm telling you though, those type of things control narrative because Joker puts the time in. I watched it.
Yeah.
Like he was there religiously because he was my rookie. So he saw, like, even though I wasn't playing, I was there 2 hours early. I was doing my same stuff and hoping that it might happen where I played. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
But it's like, and he saw that and he already had that in him.
Yes.
Like, here's a guy who was making $1,800 a month playing overseas. You know what I mean? So, like, he had that hunger, and he still puts it in now. Like, he does that. It's just funny to see because everyone takes that same narrative. Oh, he doesn't love basketball. He just like, because he says it on
right.
Hey, yeah, he just
do I really stay here for the parade?
Be tricking.
Yeah, he's just talking.
You know what I mean? By really stay here for the parade?
You gotta love it, man. You gotta love it.
He's the best. And he's so fucking good at basketball.
And obviously, clearly, those guys work hard. Joker works his ass off. Mahomes works his ass off. All I'm saying is don't think you can sit your ass at home and get the production that they got. It's the same results.
Right.
It don't work like that for everybody.
Everybody can't have
that.
That
is not the case.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most of us are Jags. We just got to work our way into that shit.
Oh, my God. So this one leads us to the next segment, which is one of my favorite ones. Prize Picks, man, they're giving away free money. It's time to play. Come on, man. So we got a
Ain't
guest
nothing
here.
Like free money.
We love
so. I love free money.
Yeah, they're just giving it away. Got a prize pick, man. I mean, go sign up. Tagging the OGs. Top five point guards all time.
All time.
Go.
Mm. Five.
Go.
Magic. Steph. Ooh. John Stockton.
Ooh.
Oh, I ain't heard that one in the
movie. Coochie Cutters.
Coochie Cutters Stockton. Oh, my.
Isaiah Thomas.
Zeke. OG.
And last one is tough. It's so many. I probably have to say.
Take your time,
I have to say Russ. I want to say J. Kidd, but it can't deny with Russ.
It's hard to get them all in five.
Yes, I got. I go.
I'm gonna give you that.
I'm gonna say Russ, but I'm thinking J. Kidd because J. Kidd is undefeated in international USA basketball play since he was like an amateur all the way to Olympics. He's never lost. He played two, three different styles. He used to be fast, coast to coast, above the rim. He was an elite defender. And then he became a shooter to end his career and won a championship
you
in
sure
Dallas.
Right, so he did.
J. Kidd is elite.
Yes, right.
And
he
then
did.
You got Gary Payton, who was defensive specialist. So it's tough, but Russ is like he got 23,000 points plus 8,000 assists, 8,000 rebounds, 5,000 assists, 5,000 rebounds. So like he averaged a triple double, bro, when it hadn't been done in 50 years. So I'm gonna go with that.
He did it easily.
I'm gonna have to throw Russ at number in there. I'm with you on that.
I had to throw him in there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
What do you tell the people at home when you make these lists?
Oh man, listen, this is just our opinion. Don't come with that bullshit.
Oh no, I mean you can't argue the resumes. John Stockton got two records that ain't gonna never be broken in the NBA.
Yeah, people at home get mad.
You know? He played 19 years. He missed no games hardly.
Somebody gonna DM me and be like, why the fuck Pistol Pete wasn't up there? Some bullshit. Like, get the fuck out of here. I never seen Pistol Pete. Fuck is that?
Nah, but that five though, argue with that five.
Somebody gonna DM. Magic got somebody five gonna chips. DM me and be like, why went Pistol
Magic
Pete out there?
Magic got five chips and three MVPs. Steph is, you know, we know what that is. Steph is Steph. John Stockton got records that ain't gonna never be broken. Same with Russ, got records that ain't never be broken. Most athletic point guard we ever seen with the production.
Yeah.
You know, and then Isaiah Thomas is just him.
Zeke, real one.
It ain't even about stats with him. If you watch him play point guard, you know that's one of the best point guards you've ever seen play.
Real talk.
Before we get out of here,
We want to give the people what they want because we like to talk about Miami Heat stuff and everything like that. So before we leave, give us your favorite Spo / Pat Riley memory.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Man. Cole, was you in Cleveland when I farted in the huddle?
Hold on, what happened?
I farted in the huddle one time.
I don't even want to remember that.
Spo was drawing up a play, and I farted in the huddle, and Spo just stopped and was like, "What the fuck is that?"
Even if I was there, that's not something I would want to recall. I don't want to recall that.
I was just trying to remember. Like, was you in Cleveland when I farted in the huddle? Hey, Kelly, I got to take my vitamins. I was getting older and shit. I take a lot of vitamins and supplements and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Man, if that was the case, I'm not going to recall that.
I farted in the huddle one time, and Spo was drawing up some shit, and Spo just stopped and was like, "What the fuck is that?"
That's a hell of a memory.
True story, killer. That's how bad it was. I remember that shit to this day. That shit was bad, boy.
What vitamins you on?
Man, I was on all kinds of shit, man. All kinds of vitamins.
I can't believe you just said that, bro.
It was true, man.
We know, but
they give us those little pills. Take all our vitamins.
Magnesium, all types of stuff.
And all that shit to keep you going. Sometimes I just take vitamins on an empty stomach. That shit ain't no good. My bad. Go ahead.
Oh my God.
But the question was. The question was favorite Pat, and I just thought of Pat and Spo memories, thought about that memory.
I'm gonna be honest. For Pat, it would be the parades, cause that's the one time where he would actually smile and be happy and let loose. Cause he's an intense guy. Cat try not to. He don't crack a smile. His poker face is elite. So, seeing Pat be able to just be happy and smile at those parades, I would say that was my favorite moment with that. With Spo, it was a personal moment. I texted him some things, I needed some advice, he messaged me back, and it was during the season too. And he had messaged me back, and so the fact that, he still, responds, and we still have a relationship, post, even though I don't play for the Heat anymore.
That's Heat coaching.
That was one of my most special moments.
That's Heat coaching.
People understand, Coach Riley.
Oh, my God. Drill sergeant.
Talk about Riley. When drill sergeant. How many meetings we had when Bron left?
It was real tense in there when Bron left.
Man, it was tight in the building for a season.
He took that personal. And he admitted it. He said it took him a while to get over that, man. We had all type of meetings.
Shit, everybody took it personal, except for the players.
So what were the meetings? What happened in the meetings?
Get y'all shit together. Ain't here no more.
Right. Everybody can go. Everybody expendable at this point. Everybody expendable.
That's basically what he said in a nutshell. I start this shit over. I start all this shit over.
That's a fact. Excluding nobody.
He didn't want us to be friends with Bron. None of that shit.
you was like, hey, man, what you want me to do? You was like, what you want me to do? You want me to hate the guy? I ain't going to hate him. Now, when we play, we going to go at it and all that. He said, but look, I ain't going to hate the man.
Well, two championships with the man. You want me to hate the motherfucker? I can't hate him. I can't do that. I can't do that.
Nah, it was tense. It was tense.
It was tense in the room.
Coming to work was different then. You talk about how you love coming to practice and all that. It wasn't so much at that point.
Had a little dark cloud over us for a while. Had a little dark cloud over us for a while when the King got up out of here.
For sure. And as you saw, the dynamics of the team changed quickly. It was trades and all types of stuff was happening. Yeah. I was in it, so I was one of them. So, it was a different time.
Well, man, we could sit here and talk about old Miami Heat stories all day long. We appreciate you coming in, man. Two-time NBA champ.
Cold world.
Unbelievable rookie for us. We appreciate you coming
appreciate
in, brother.
Appreciate y'all, the OGs, hell yeah, man.
And good luck the rest of the time. You know what I mean? Go pick this man up if y'all want to win, bro.
I like
tonight.
And I appreciate you. Tonight. Hey,
Tim Hardaway, I watch y'all show. He is the funniest
dude.
Tonight.
Well, I appreciate y'all tuning in, man. Tune in every Tuesdays.
Hey, man. And I appreciate you, Cold World, man. Just continuing the things that we talked about and we embodied. You know what I'm saying? You continued them. You know what I'm saying? The habits that, and you listen. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing better for me as a veteran to know that something I said or did resonated to a young guy that he can take and it can help him prolong his career, help him be his best version. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate that.
I appreciate y'all.
Knowing my shit didn't fall on deaf ears because I hate wasting my time.
No. UD takes pride in that, for real.
Yeah, no, I do. I do.
He does.
I do. Do we got OG? Do I got OG?
Oh, yeah, what
OG
it's great to see, bro. You know what's great to see about UD?
Yeah.
What? He's emotional now.
No, he is. Yeah, he is.
You know,
he
this
is,
guy,
he
UD, is softened up a little bit. Not soft from a standpoint of, you know, soft, but like.
No, because you understand why? Because I understand this generation. See, you was probably the last of the generation where you just give a motherfucker a task. Run through that door. I ain't got to tell you what's on the other side. Yeah. I ain't got to tell you shit. All I got to tell you is run through that damn door and we going to win. This generation, I got to tell them what's on the other side. I got to tell them why I need to do it. Right. I got to tell them if the dough wood or metal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then I got to pat them on the ass before they run through the door and tell them, I love you if we, you know what I'm saying?
So
I just understand the evolution of who I need to be to get the results that I need to get. You know what I'm saying? I'd be a fool. Evolve or die. Evolve or die. I'd be a fool. You know what I'm saying?
You're an idiot. Give some OG advice.
Like Cole World said, man, all the things that he does not understanding is things that I used to do not understand. If we're going to get in the game, if we're going to play, what our impact going to be that night, but we still do those things. OG advice of the day, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And that's just not in sports.
Oh, damn.
Just like that.
You read between the lines. If you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Man. Well, I ain't got to say nothing else. Tune in Tuesdays. I'll see you. If you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Yes, sir.
If you use it, you lose it.